Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Mardell. And it's time for another chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnall. Chapter 7, How I Heard Tell of Black Bartlemy's Treasure. Now scarce was I clear of the village, than I was again seized of a deadly sickness and vertigo, so that I stumbled and was like to fall. But that Penfeather propped me with his shoulder. In this fashion I made shift to drag myself along, nor would he suffer me stay or respite. From my weakness until following the brook, he had brought me into the green solitude of the woods. Here then I sank down, sucking up the cool sweet water twixt parched lips, drinking until Penfeather stayed me, lest I should do myself hurt thereby. Thereafter, from strength reviving, I bathed my divers wounds, the which, though painful, were of small account, and fell to cleansing my spattered garments as well as I might. "So, we're to be comrades after all," says Penfeather, watching me where he sat hard by. "Aye, tomorrow." "And how go with a vengeance, shipmate?" At this I turned on him with a clenched fist. "Nay, easy does it," says he, never budging. "For if 'twas the folly of vengeance brought ye in the peccadillo, 'twas your comrade, Adam Penfeather, got ye out again. So, easy all." "'Twas you fired the rick, then?" "None other." "'Tis a hanging matter, I've heard." "Well, a man must needs run some small risk for his comrade, do you see?" "Then, Adam Penfeather, I'm your debtor." "Nay," says he, "there be no debts 'twixt comrades of the brotherhood. 'Tis give and take, share and share." And speaking, he drew forth a purse, and emptying store of money on the grass betwixt us, divided it equally and pushed a pile of silver and copper towards me. "And what's this?" I demanded. "Share and share, comrade. But I'm no comrade of yours till after tonight." "Huh," says he, pinching his long chin. "It's more vengeance then." "Keep your money till it be earned," I muttered. "Sink me, there's pride for you," says he. "Pride, which is a vain thing, and vengeance, which is a vainer. Lord love me, shipmate, 'tis plain to see you're of the quality. Spite your rags, blue blood, high breeding, noblesse oblige, and all the rest on't." "Stint your gab," says I, scowling. "'Tis writ large all over ye," he went on placidly enough. "As for me, I'm but a plain man with no time for vengeance, and no whit of pride about me anywhere. What I says to you is, get to windward of vengeance. Nay, heave it overboard, shipmate. You'll ride the easier, aye, and sweeter, and seek something more useful. Gold, for instance, 'tis a handy thing, I've heard say. So I had done with vengeance." "No," says I, frowning, not for all Bartlemy's treasure." "Uh-huh," quoth he softly. "So, you've heard tell of it, then, along the Spanish Main?" "I heard tell of it last night in a cave from a sailor man." "How?" says he, starting, and with keen eyes glancing hither and thither. "A sailor man hereabouts?" "Damn me," says I, "the country seems thick of sailor men." "Ha! Do you say so? And what like was this one?" "A comely rogue that sang a strange song." Says Penfeather, his eyes narrowing. "A song, says you, and strange. How strange?" "'Twas all of dead men and murder. Do you mind any line on't, shipmate?" "Aye, the words of it went somewhat like this. Some on a knife did part with life, and some a bullet took go, but..." Now here, as I stopped at a loss, my companion took up the rhyme, almost unconsciously, and below his breath. "That 3 times 3 died plaguily a ricklin' on a hooko." "Comrade," says he in the same low voice, "did you ever see among these mariners a one-handed man, a tall man with a hook in place of his left hand, a very bright, sharp hook?" And now, as Penfeather questioned me, he seized my wrist, and I was amazed at the iron grip of him. "No," I answered. "Nay," says he, loosing his hold, "how should you? He's dead along o' so many on him. He's done for. Him and his hook devil burn him." "A hook both long and stout and strong, they died by gash a hooko." "Ah," I cried, "so that was the kind of hook." "Aye," nodded Penfeather, "that was the kind. A bullet's bad, a knife's worse, but a steel hook, shipmate, very sharp, do you see, is a death no man should die. Shipmate, I've seen divers men dead by that same hook, torn and ripped, do you see, like a dog's fangs. I had seen many die ere then, but that way, 'twas an ill sight for queasy stomachs." "And he, this man with a hook, is dead, you say, and burning in hellfire? Are you sure?" "I killed him, shipmate." "You," says I. "Aye, shipmate, we fought on a shelf or rock, high above the sea, my knife agin his hook. 'Twas that same hook gave me this scar athwart my jaw, but as he struck, I struck and saw him go spinning over and over, down and down, and splash into the sea. And for 3 days I watched that bit ashore, living on shellfish and watching for him, to make sure I'd finished him at last." "And these other rogues?" says I. "What like were they, shipmate?" Hereupon I described as fully as I might the 3 sailor men I had fought with in the Hedge Tavern, albeit I made no mention of the maid, while Penfeather listened, nodding now and then and pinching at his long chin. "And this other fellow," says he, when I had done, "this fellow that sang, do you know, if his name chanced to be Mings, Abnegation Mings, comrade?" "The very same," says I. "Strange," quoth Penfeather, and thereupon sat staring gloomily down into the rippling waters of the brook for a while. "I wonder," says he at last, "I wonder. What think ye shall bring these fellows so far from the coast? What should they be after?" "Me, shipmate." "You," says I for the second time, marveling at the strange quiet of him. "And what would they have of you?" "My life, shipmate, and one other thing. What that thing is, I will tell you when we have drunk the blood, brotherhood, but now it behooveth me to be a-going, so I'll away. But when you shall seek me, as seek me you will, shipmate, shalt hear of me at the Peckamalt Tavern, which is a small, quiet place twixt here and Bedgebury Cross. Come there at any hour, day or night, and say, 'The faithful friend,' and you shall find safe harborage. Now remember, comrade, the word is 'the faithful friend.' And if so be you can choose your time, night is better." So saying, he arose. "Wait," says I, pointing to the coins yet lying on the grass. "Take your money." "'Tis none of mine," says he, shaking his head. "Keep it, throw it away, 'tis all one to me." Then he went away through the wood. And as he went, I thought he walked with a new and added caution. Please join me next week for another exciting chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.